Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Rosh Hashanah Chaf Hei. We begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Ma'asa, there was a story as follows. Shabo Ushnaim, two Edom showed up and they claimed something very interesting. They came to Bezin, Ve'amron, they said, look, Ro'inuhu, we noticed the old moon, Shachros, in the morning, right at sunrise, so we saw the last sliver of the old moon, B'Mizrach, in the east, at sunrise. And that very same day, V'Arvis B'Marav, we saw the new moon, the first sliver discernible from that new moon, at sunset, B'Marav, at the west, which is close to impossible, Rashi says. You would think it doesn't work. We know there's a 24-hour gap between the old and the new moon. The moon disappears throughout that time. How can they claim they noticed the old one in the morning and that very same evening, the new moon? Amar b'yechnan ben Nuri. Indeed, eidei sheker heim, impossible. They're speaking falsehood. Doesn't work. There's a 24-hour gap in between the old and the new moon. It's impossible that they would see the old and new moons on that very same day. So that was his opinion. However, when they arrived at Yavne, where the Bezin was situated, Kiblon Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel, the Av Bezin, accepted their testimony. He believed what they had to say. The Gemara will explain how that works. V'oid, there was another story, Bosh Naim, two fellows showed up, V'amron, they said, Re'inu Bizmanoi, we saw the new moon in its right time, which means on day 30. It's called Bismani because the monthly cycle takes around 29 and a half days, as the Gemara will tell us. That's called Bismani. We saw the new moon right on time on day 30. And Rosh Chodesh should be today, which was actually Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which was Rosh Hashanah. So on the one hand, we saw him today, but so happens that the following night, Leil Iburoi, why is it called Leil Iburoi? Because day 30 is always called Ibur, the Yom HaIbur, because it could potentially be the extension of last month. Ibur is the extension, so day 30 can potentially be used to extend last month. So in any case, day 30, which was established as Rosh Chodesh, that's called Yom Ibur, was today. And tonight, we looked for the moon, we couldn't see him. Even so, Rabban Gamliel did not cancel what he did. So they came on day 30, we saw the new moon. Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah today. Come that very night, nobody sees a moon out there. Which sounds strange. If it was seen today, why can't it be seen tonight? No. Rabban Gamliel says, you never know. For some reason we don't see it, okay, but it doesn't mean that we're going to undo what we were makabel today. We accepted the Eidus, we established today as Rosh Hashanah, we leave it as is. Amar Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkinas, Eidei Shekerheim, how could you believe them? It's clear and evident that they were lying. They saw the moon today and then the next night we don't see it, impossible. He drew an analogy. He says, look, how can Edom say, it's an example, I'll say a woman just gave birth, well, the machar, and that very next day, she's expecting again, her womb, her stomach is bloated, it's ben shineo, meaning the fetus is on the way out, ben ashinayim, on the way out of the cavity. So in any case, it's impossible. You can't be expecting yesterday and expecting again today. So in similar fashion, you see the moon yesterday and you'll see it the next night. Well, if the new moon was already visible, it has to be visible throughout. Something's wrong. Something doesn't add up here. And therefore, you have to reject their testimony and extend Elul. Postpone Rosh Chodesh to the next day. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rayanis Varacha. You know what? I hear what you have to say. I tend to agree with you. It sounds pretty unlikely that you would see the moon one day and no longer see it that night. So in any case, there's machlekes between Rabban Gamliel, who kept the Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Hashanah, intact, as established on day 30, even though that very night the moon was not to be seen. Well, it can happen. For some reason, we don't see it. Therefore, he did not cancel the Rosh Chodesh, whereas Rabbi Yeshua sided with Rabbi Doisa ben Harkinas, who disagreed. He says, we have to reject the Raiders. So now we have a machlekes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, who was a very prominent figure in Klal Yisrael. Adam Chashev, it sounds from the Gemara that he was even greater than Rabbi Gamliel, who happened to be the Reish HaBezdin, but Rabbi Yeshua was somebody to reckon with. And now Rabbi Gamliel was concerned about a rift developing in Klal Yisrael regarding the scheduling, the calendar, a very crucial element in Klal Yisrael's lifestyle, the character, the calendar, the Rosh Chodeshim, the Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Gamliel. Rosh Hashanah was today, according to Yeshua, Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow. Shalach lei Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel sends a message to Yeshua. We can't have this. Goizrani alech, I decree on you, Shetovei Esli, you should come travel to me, to Yavne, b'malkelcha, holding your staff, your stick, u'moyisecha, with your money, b'yaymak yipurim, shechalies b'cheshboincha, on your Yom Kippur, which is the day after my Yom Kippur, right? Because Rabbi Gamliel's Rosh Hashanah was a day before Rabbi Yeshua's Rosh Hashanah. So, I decree, I make a gzer, you have to come traveling to me on your Yom Kippur to show, to demonstrate to all that you're accepting upon yourself the psak of Bezdin. Halach otzoi Rabbi Kiva Meitzer. Rabbi Kiva goes and he meets Rabbi Yeshua, who is in distress. In distress, look. He's forcing me to be Machalal my Yom Kippur. Amar loy, Rabbi Kiva sought to console him. He says, look, yesh li lumot. I want to show you, I want to prove to you that it's okay to follow the psak bezin, even though you think it was an erroneous psak. Why? Shokol masha osu Ram Gamliel osu. I'm going to show you that everything Rabbi Gamliel did and his bezin did is bona fide, is fact, is accepted by Hashem, is valid, even though you think it was a mistake. Shenemar, Pasuk says, Eilam ayadei Hashem mikro ekoidish, asher tikru oisam. We learn from there. I think we'll explain exactly how we learn it. Bein bizmanon, bein shalei bizmanon. Whether it's properly arranged, whether the mi'adam were improperly arranged. Fact is, ein lei mi'adois ela eil. These are the yom tovim that Klal Yisrael accepts. Hashem relies on the psak bezin. Whatever they do, that has validity. Don't worry about following the psak of Ram Gamliel. Go over to his schedule, follow his calendar. Boloi Eitzel Rabbi Doisa ben Harkinas. Rabbi Yeshua further met Rabbi Doisa, who was the one who originally opposed Rabbi Gamliel's psak. And Rabbi Doisa sought to alleviate the situation. Once again, he was trying to coax him into accepting Rabbi Gamliel's psak, despite his misgivings. Amalai tells him, look, it's after the fact. Rabbi Gamliel and his bezin already decided, we have to follow. That's just the way it is. Im boin anu laden, achar beistina shiram Gamliel. If one of us will try to challenge and oppose and question the authority of Rabbi Gamliel's bezin, guess what? It's a never-ending proposition. Tzrichin anu laden. We're going to do the same regarding every bezin. Achar kol bezin u bezin sh'amad m'mois Moshe v'ad achshav. Sure, Moshe Rabbeinu's bezin, that's the bezin of the highest regard. What happens afterwards? The next door and the following door. You mean to say that everybody has the ability to question and challenge the authority, the knowledge, the expertise of every bezin? You can't do that. So if you're going to challenge Rabbi Gamliel, you may as well do away with tradition. Because then you can challenge any Bezdin. You're not meant to do that. How do I know? The fact is, every Bezdin has been appointed by Hashem. It's considered the supreme authority in Klal Yisrael. You're meant to follow it. Shenema. Vayal Moshe v'Aaron v'Nadav Aviyu v'Shivim Mizikne Yisrael. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu asked for help, so to speak. Hashem tells him, look, gather together the elders. And Hashem transferred some Nevuah to them. He gave them leadership. And we find that Moshe and Aaron and Nadav and Aviyu are mentioned by name, but not the 70 elders. They're left anonymous. V'Shivim Mizikne Yisrael. And the question is, why? Why doesn't the Pasuk mention the Skenim by name? You know why? There was a purpose. There was a point to that. Leave it blank. To show you. To teach you a lesson. Throughout the generations. Every time you have a Bezin. Three Dayanim sit down. They're appointed as the court. They have the same power. Hari hu kebeis dinu shel Moshe. They're considered like Moshe Rabbeinu's best. So if the Torah would spell out all the names, then you can always say, well, this Dayan today, how does he compare to the Dayanim by Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm not going to accept their authorities. The Torah specifically left it blank. You don't even know who they were at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Perhaps your Dayan is greater. So you can't really challenge, you can't oppose the Dayanim that have their Bezdin today. You want to accept everybody's authority. That's the way Hashem established his Torah, his Mesorah. Go ahead and consider your Bezdin kebeis dinu shel Moshe. Once Rabbi Yeshua hears that, he was pacified, he was satisfied, and he followed instructions. Nota makloi me'oisav b'yodoi. He took his staff, his money, in his hands. And he traveled over to Yavna, to Rabbi Gamliel, on that very day. On the day which, according to his, Rabbi Yeshua's reckoning, it was actually Yom Kippur. Rabbi Gamliel saw him coming. He was so impressed. He was so moved. Rabbi Gamliel got up. He gave him a kiss on his head. He tells him, come. Come in peace. Rabbi v'Talmid, he referred to him as Rabbi and his Talmud. Why? You taught me something. Rabbi b'Chachma, you my Rabbi. In matters of Chachma. Some of Farshim say that Rabbi Yeshua was actually greater in ways than Rabbi Gamliel. Or perhaps the fact that he taught him a lesson in humility. In either case, Rabbi b'Chachma, you're a Talmid. You're also my Talmud. Shekibalta estvarai. You accepted my words. You followed my psak. Wow. This was really a sacrifice for the sake of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of maintaining our Mesorah tradition. So getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, we had one story and another story. In the first case, the Eidim claimed that they noticed the old moon in the morning in the east. And that very same evening, we saw the new moon, B'Marav. Rabbi Yechmanuri claims it's impossible because it takes more than that between the old and the new moon. There's a gap of 24 hours where nothing's visible. The Gemara says when they came to Yavne, Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. How's that? What happened to this 24-hour formula? Answers the Gemara, Tani will enter a brisa. Omelahem Rabbi Gamliel l'chachamim. He responded to the chachamim. Sometimes there are exceptions. And this was handed down to us and our family. This is what I have in tradition. From Abi Avo, our ancestors, some say David HaMelech. In any case, it's a family tradition. So Tosis explains. Firstly, you meant to know. It all depends how long the day is. You have a long summer day and more time to work with between morning and evening. That's first of all. Not only that, you're meant to know that the moon follows an elliptic orbit. It's not a straight circle. It has a long part, a short part, and it all depends on its position and how far it is from Earth. And that will result in a discrepancy between certain months and others regarding this gap where the moon is invisible between the old and the new. Sometimes you can have the old and the new on the same day. If it's a long day and it happens to be a close to Earth, in which case, or maybe further from Earth, it all depends on the situation. Sometimes it takes them a long time to travel. Sometimes it takes short, in which case it can take less time for it to reappear after it disappeared. So in any case, what they're saying is plausible, and I accept it. Where is the source for this concept? This tradition handed down in Ram Gamliel's household, Tchsiv, Also Yereach L'may Adam, Hashem created the moon, L'may Adam, Shemash Yada Mevoyoy, Hashem knows the ins and outs of the sun, its schedule is very predictable. Shemash Yada Mevoyoy, the sun's ins and outs and rising and setting is very clear and predictable. Yereach L'yada Mevoyoy, as opposed to the moon, we're not sure exactly where it's coming and going. It's an unpredictable system. It runs elliptical orbit, in which case it's not always running with a set formula. In fact, we have exceptions to our rules, such as in the case of our Mishnah. Rav Chiya Chazi L'Sihar, there's a story of Rav Chiya himself, who noticed the moon, the old moon, at the tail end of last month. Chazi L'Sihar, he noticed the moon, Tavakoi B'Tzafra, the Esr Metisha. What happened was, it was the end of Elul. He wanted Rosh Hashanah to fall out on time, on day 30. Day 30 will be Aleph Tishrei. He happened to notice the old moon, B'Tzafra the Esr Metisha, 29 in the morning. He wanted to make sure that that moon is gone by the time nighttime arrives. Because if you see this old moon the following night, that's it. That night and the following day had been committed to the previous month, as we learned earlier. You can only make Rosh Chodesh if you know there was no old moon all throughout that Laila V'Yom period. So he saw the moon on 29. Shakal Kola, he grabbed a piece of mud, Pasakbe, tossed it towards the moon. Amar, he said, L'orta Be'inan L'kdushei Bach, tonight, tomorrow, I want to be mekadesh the chodesh with you, meaning I want to start a new month. Va'at kaimas hoch, and you're still here? He was afraid that this old moon is going to spill over into tonight, in which case he will not be able to establish tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. Zil ichse, go cover yourself. Amalei Rebbe the Rav Chiya. So Rebbe turned to Rav Chiya. He says, look, leave town. Zil la'ayin tav. Go to this place, ayin tav. Get out of the way. Mekadshe le'yarcha. And be mekadesh the chodesh tomorrow. Rashi explains. He was concerned that this old moon will be visible all throughout day 29, all the way till tonight. Perhaps not into tonight, but all the way till the end of the day, in which case we have to work with that 24-hour gap between old and new, in which case he'll be prevented from making Kiddush HaChodesh any time throughout tomorrow, which is still within that 24-hour window. So go to Ein Tav, when nobody's around, make Kiddush HaChodesh there. So the people in Ein Tav won't realize what's happening over here. And people over here won't realize what's happening there. Do Kiddush HaChodesh. Apparently it was necessary for them to make Kiddush HaChodesh early that year. As she says, it was Rosh Hashanah, which needed to come out on day 30. And this way you'll avoid any opposition. V'shalachli, and send me a signal. V'shalachli simona, David melech Yisrael chai v'kayam. This will be a simon that you mekadesh the Chodesh. Tosfos brings that actually Ein Tav was a makim kavua where they used to do Kiddush HaChodesh. And what's the connection between David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim? And in fact, we do say this pasuk during Kiddush Lavana. The Farshim say that the moon is equated to David HaMelech. It goes up, it goes down, it waxes, it wanes. The Malchus of Yisrael, represented by David HaMelech, goes up and down. Now we have our downtime. Sometimes Lasad Lavay will be lit up again. So it's like the moon, which goes up and down. In any case, that would be a simon that you mekadesh the chodesh. Tanu Rabban, there was a story. Pam achas neskashru shamayim ba'avim. So you look up to the sky; it's full of clouds. V'niris Dmus Levana Be'esrim Be'tisha L'chodesh. And it looked like a moon on the 29th day of the month. Kesvurma Amloimar Rosh Chodesh. So everybody thinks, well, that sliver must be the new moon. And today should be Rosh Chodesh on day 29. Ubikshu Bezdin Lakach, and Bezdin wanted to establish today's Rosh Chodesh. Amalim Ram Gamliel, no, it's too early. You need a minimum of 29 and a half and change. Kach mekublanim beis Abi'av, I have this tradition now, family. Ein chidush shel Levana. You only have a full revolution of that moon if you reach 29 plus. It's no less, it's p'chus, it's not less than me'esrim betishur yoim, 29 days, u'mechza and a half a day, 29 and a half days. So 29 and 12 hours. U'shnei shlishi shah, 2/3 of an hour, 40 minutes. Vayin gimel chalakim, 73 chalakim. Chalakim is a reference to one part of 1,080 of an hour. So an hour split into 1080. That's called a chelik in the lashon of chacham, in the lashon of the halacha. So basically, it's an orbit of 29 days, 12 hours, a half a day, 4 hours, 4 minutes, 3 seconds, and a third second. That's the minimum. You can't make Kiddush HaChodesh earlier. It doesn't work. It's too early. The moon had not yet completed a full revolution. Now, in order to facilitate this, to delay the Rosh Chodesh from happening, Rav Gamliel employed a trick. Vayzayim, that day, it so happens to be that Mesa Imayshel Ben Zaza's mother passed away. Vayespida Rav Gamliel Hesped Gadol, and he conducted this great eulogy in her honor, to delay matters, to avoid Kiddush HaChodesh, to make Rosh Hashanah tomorrow instead of today. Because this woman was actually deserving of this Hesped Gadol by Rav Gamliel. Rather, he did it so that everybody knows. And evidently, today was not Rosh Hashanah. Today was not Rosh Chodesh, because you're not meant to make a hesped on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, it's going to bring out the point that the actual Rosh Hashanah was only tomorrow, the next day. Getting back to the Mishnah, where we had another case, where Rabbi Gamliel accepted the Edom, and Rabbi Yeshua opposed his psak. Rabbi Gamliel responded with a gzeira, you have to come on your Yom Kippur, holding your muktzah to me, to Yavne. Gemara's mission says, Halach Rabbi Akiva, u'motzoi meitzar. Akiva goes and notices him, meitzar, in distress. Iboilu, the Bnei Yeshiva asked a shaila, what does the mission mean? Who was in distress? Me meitzar, who was in distress? Rabbi Akiva Meitzer. Was Rabbi Akiva in distress? That was Holach U'matzah Rabbi Akiva Meitzer. Maybe Rabbi Akiva was in distress. He's concerned that perhaps Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't comply and he's going to create a rift in Klal Yisrael. Oy Rabbi Yeshua Meitzer. Or was it Rabbi Yeshua who was Meitzer? He was being forced to be Mechalel his Yom Kippur. Tashma, the son you learned in a bris, so Holach Rabbi Akiva U'matzah Rabbi Yeshua Kishu Meitzer. Rabbi Akiva found Rabbi Yeshua in a state of Meitzar. Amalai, Rabbi, says to him, Rabbi, b'mimata Meitzar, what's wrong? Amalai, so he tells him, Akiva, I want you to know. Ro'i lo'i she'yipa l'mito yud be'is chodesh. I would rather fall ill 12 months, v'al yigzor alav gzerezu, and not have this gzera applied to me, to be machalal yamtiv. Amalai, Rabbi Akiva responds, Rabbi, response from Yeshua, Rabbi, Tarsheni loyma lefanecha davar echad. Allow me to tell you a very important thing. Sheli madatani, that you taught me. I want to remind you what you yourself told me. See, sometimes you need chizuk from an outsider. This is something Yeshua himself taught. He needed Rabbi Akiva to remind him. Amalai, Rabbi Yeshua responds, Emar, please say. Amalai, Rabbi Akiva responds, Harayu Emar. Don't you remember the pasuk he told us? Atem, atem, atem. Pasuk says 3 times. Ashatikru oisam. In the parsha of Mayadim, it says 3 times Ashatikru oisam. And we darshan Ashatikru oisam, we darshan atem. Because it's without a vav, right? It's spelled Aleph Saf Mem. So the drasha is atem. You will establish. You're going to call out today's Rosh Chodesh. The Bezin is in charge. Three times. What's the point of highlighting this? Three times to tell you. It's absolute. Gimel pa'amim. Atem afilu shoyugin. Bezin has the authority to be Mekadosh Chodesh. To be Mekadosh Yomim Tovim, even if they're mistaken. If it turns out that they're wrong, it still has validity. The Torah is based on the Pesach Bezin. Whatever it is, it's valid. Atem, the next one is, afilu meizin, even if they're doing it purposely off. Let's say they have some sort of calculation, some sort of reason that they try to advance or postpone the Rosh Chodesh, it works. The third atem is, afilu muton, even though they were misled and fooled by the Edom, once they accept the Edus, they establish the Rosh Chodesh, it takes hold. You taught us this halacha. You taught us this concept. I understand that you disagree with Rambam Gamliel. You hold that he's making a mistake. Fact is, he's the Av Bezin, and the Bezin went along. This was the Psak. This is the halacha. Okay, Rabbi Shua heard this. He calmed down. Balashna ze amaloi. Rabbi Shua responds to him as follows. Akiva, nichamtani. Nichamtani, you've consoled me. I'm going to go along with it. And in fact, as we want to see, he went all the way to Yavne, and Rambam Gamliel was impressed with his show of support, with his anava. Before we get to that, we have another piece where Rabbi Yeshua visited Rabbi Deisa ben Harkinus. Boloi eitzah Rabbi Deisa ben Harkinus. And he too sought to put him in line with Rambam Gamliel. Tana Rabbanan, he brought the pasuk with the Shiv Meskenim. Why don't we find any mentioning of names of all these Kenim? The answer is Shalo Yaymar Adam. Plainly Kemosha V'Aaron? A person should never have the grounds to say, this Dayan Plainly, he's the Rav of my city. Well, what does he have to say? Kemosha V'Aaron? Do you think he equates to Kemosha V'Aaron? Nowhere near. Plainly, this dying over here, Kenodav Aviyu, you think he equates Kenodav Aviyu with Tzadikim and Aviyim? Plainly, this Rav that we have, Ke'eldo de Medad, you think he's like Eldo de Medad? I'm not going to listen to my Rav. He doesn't match up, he's nowhere near their Madrig. That's why the Torah leaves out the name of the Shivim Zekanim. You don't know who they are. Maybe your Rav is more Chashiv than them. And still they had the ability to pass. Says Rashi, three lines from the bottom. A person can never oppose his bezin and say, plenty, listen to my bezin, you think he has the same expertise as Moshe V'Aaron? But now the Torah leaves it out, leaves it blank. Emerlay, you can respond to him and say, look, I understand, maybe your Rav is not like Moshe V'Aaron. Maybe he's like the others Kenim. You have no clue who they are. The Torah deliberately leaves it out. We know about Moshe V'Aaron. We know about Eldo the Medad. We don't know who the others Canaan were. Perhaps your Rav matches up to them. So bottom line is, follow your bezin. Continues the Gemara four lines from the bottom. Va'omer, we have another raya from another pasuk to this concept. This was when Shmuel Hanavi admonished Klal Yisrael. Look how Hashem loves you. Hashem installed such great leaders. He gave you such great nisim. And he goes through a list of leaders. Vayomer. Vayomer Shmuel Am. Hashem, asher oses Moshe v'Aaron. He brought about Moshe v'Aaron to lead you. Vayomer, vayishlach Hashem, es Yerubal, ves Bidon, ves Yiftach, ves Shmuel. You have a list of six names. The Gemara explains who they are. Yerubal, it's a Gidon. That is actually a Gidon, another name for him. V'lo menik Shmuel Yerubal, why do we call him that name? Shasem Rivim and Abal, because he opposed, he challenged the Baal, the Avodah Zarah. Who is Bedan? Is that Shimshon? That's Shimshon HaGibor. V'loma Nikrushmoy Bedan. Why is he called Bedan? Da'asim Bedan. He hails from Shevetan. Who is Yiftach Kimashmoy? Exactly, Yiftach. No frills, no nicknames. Now, the pasuk mentioned Moshe, Aaron, and then four more. Gidon, Shimshon, Yiftach, and Shmuel. And we actually find in a pasuk, V'omer, we find in a pasuk in Tehillim, that the pasuk equates Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. So those were considered great leaders on the highest level. Moshe Aaron b'Koyanav, Shmuel b'Koyanav Shmoy. And we see over here that Shmuel is mentioned in the same context of Moshe Aaron. Shakal ha'kosav shloisha kali oylam, k'shloisha chamuri oylam. So here we find that Moshe Aaron and Shmuel are pretty much on the same level. And on the other side of the scale, we have the three lesser, so to speak, leaders, Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach. And we find that the Pesukim put them all together. Moshe, Aaron, Shmuel, Yiftach, Gidon. What does that tell you? Shaka al-Kosav, Shloisha Kali Olam. The Pasuk sort of equated three lesser, so to speak, leaders, Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach, Kishloisha Chamur Olam. Compared to the three great leaders, leaders of highest stature, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. What does this teach you? Why are they all listed together? To tell you a leader is a leader. A leader. Installed by Hashem. Has the authority. Irrelevant of his madrig. Leimelecha to tell you. Yerubal b'dayre. Yerubal was installed as a leader in his dur. Kim Moshe b'dayre has the same power, same authority from Hashem. Just as Moshe in his dur. You have to listen to him and follow him. Likewise, Bidan, which is Shimshon b'dayre, his generation. Ka'aron b'dayre. It's equated to Aaron in his generation. Yiftach b'dor, k'shmo b'dor. L'ametcha, bottom line, this teaches you, Shafilu kal shebekal, even somebody who is not really so worthy. Vinis mane parnas al tzibur, who was elected, who was appointed as a leader of the tzibur, he represents the tzibur to Hashem, he gets special heavenly assistance. Hariyuk avesh barbir, he is regarded like the leader of the highest stature. Furthermore, says the Brayis, to bring out this point, Va'imer, look at the pasuk. Pasuk and Dvar. Ubasalash Hakehanim Alevim. You come to the Kayam, to Levim, Balash Shaifa Tashayyeh Bayam Mahim, to the judge who will be in office Bayam Mahim during that time, during your generation. Why does the Pasuk have to add that? Bechisal Adatach. Could you think, She Adam Hoylech Eitzel Adain Shloyoye Bayam? One will approach a Dain who lived in a previous generation? That's impossible. The pasuk here is highlighting something. Accept his authority. Ha'ena chalilech ela etzel shevet shebiyamav. Go ahead, go. Use his services. Trust him. Follow him. He gets siyata d'shmai from Hashem. The leader in your generation is like the leader in the past generation. Va'imer, the pasuk further says, is actually a pasuk in Kayelas. Don't start questioning. Don't start comparing. Al Taimar, don't ask. Mahaya, what happened? Shayyamim or Rishayim, you tell me that the previous generations, the previous leaders, were so much greater than today's. We used to have a Riki Veger, a Moshe Feinstein. Some say, today, we have Gedolim, they don't compare. Don't ask that question. Why not? Oh. So Rashi provides the answer. Seven lines from the top. Al Taimar, don't ask. And the pasuk actually concludes with the words that provide the answer. It's not a question coming from chachma. It's lacking wisdom. Why? Says Rashi. You're complaining about today's leaders. What about today's generation? Leaders represent generation. They're proportioned to the generation. Previous deres were greater. That's why they had greater leaders. Madrig of the leaders can measure it to Madrig of the der. We can't have the later ones compared to the previous ones, meaning it's all tully in the Madrig of the der. But in proportion to the der, it's the same thing. A greater der has a greater leader. A der with lesser stature has a leader with less stature. Bottom line is, follow the der, follow the dayan, the shayfet, the bezin, the manig of each generation. In fact, Rabbi Shua listens and he takes whatever he needed to take, not to makle, ma'oisa b'yaday, and he went to Rabbi Gamliel. Tana Rabbanon, kivin shera oisa. As soon as Rabbi Gamliel notices Rabbi Shua approaching with his Mukta items on Yom Kippur. Omad v'kisay, Omad mikisay. He got up from his chair. And his shok al roisha gave him a kiss on his head. Amalei tells him, Shalom alech, Rebbe v'talmidi. Rebbe, Shalmad Tani Torah Barab, you taught me Torah Barabim. V'talmide, and you're my Talmud in this context here. You're behaving like a Talmud. Shani Goyzer Lach Gzer, look, I make a Gzer, V'ata Makami, you comply. K'talmud, just like a Talmud, listens to his Rebbe. Wow, that's really impressive. Ashri Hador, fortunate is the generation. Shag Doylem, but even the great ones, when necessary, Nishmoel Mektanim, they comply and they listen to the Ktanim, to the ones that are of a lower stature than them, such as you listening to me. Kal Vachomer, certainly, Ktanim L'Gdoilim, that the smaller people listen to the greater people. What do you mean, Kal Vachomer? Chiyuvahu. Sounds like it's something praiseworthy. But the Ktanim should listen to G'dolim. It's mandatory. A Katan has to listen to a Gadol. It's not just something of praise. It's not just praiseworthy. It's obligatory. What did he mean over here? Ella, what he meant is like this. By your show of example, you're setting a precedent and influencing everybody and causing them to listen to the Chachamim, which is amazing. Mitoch Shagdoilim Nishman Uktanim. Since even the G'doilim, such as you, are listening to the G'tanim, such as myself. Noisin kal G'tanim, kal v'chomer ba'atzman. All the smaller people, people of lower stature, the lay people, the community, the general olam, will apply kal v'chomer to themselves and say, look, if Rabbi Yeshua, this great Rabbi Yeshua, listens to Rabbi Gamliel, certainly we have to listen to him. And that's very good for maintaining a tradition, the Messiah and Kal Yisrael. Hadron Allah im Einan Makir. Continues the mission. Re'u Bezdin v'chol Yisrael. Suppose everybody happened to see the new moon, Bezdin, and everybody around. Nechkru Edom, or in a case where Edom came along, claimed they saw the new moon, and we cross-examined them. But we ran out of time. V'lo yispiku loyman mekudosh. By the time they got around to concluding and saying mekudosh and declaring today as Rosh Chodesh, nighttime arrived. Too late. You can't do that at night. Kiddush HaChodesh is like a court case, which can only happen by day. Harizim Uber is considered an extended month, a long month. Rosh Chodesh is the next day, tomorrow. Re'u Bezdin Bilvat. Suppose you have a whole group of Dayanim sitting, 23 Dayanim, and they all saw the new moon. Nobody else was around, just the Dayanim. How do they go about doing Kiddush HaChodesh? We need to have Edom testifying, and Dayanim accepting the testimony. Here we have a whole group of Dayanim. No Edom. Yamdu Shnayim. The two of them should get up, consider themselves to be witnesses, ve'idu b'fneim, and testify before their colleagues. So we have the Edom testifying, and the Dayanim accepting the testimony. Ve'yomrim mekudesh mekudesh, and they'll declare mekudesh mekudesh. What about Re'u Shloisha ve'im Bezdin? Suppose we have only three Dayanim, that's it. And they're considered the full Bezdin. We have just a three Dayan court sitting here, and they notice the new moon. So what do they do now? They're short manpower, not enough to go around to have Edom and Dayanim, just three in total. Yamdu Ashnaim, two of them should get up, serve as Edom, Yeshivu Michavreim, Eitzel Al-Yachad, and bring over some Chaverim, some colleagues, who are Smuchim, who are Mumchim, who have the ability to join the court. And they'll sit down near the third fellow sitting there, they'll join him. Right, so two got up, leaving their third colleague behind. They'll join, they'll bring over some others, fill up the Bezdin, v'yidu b'fneim. Now these two Edom will testify before them, v'yayim mekudesh mekudesh. Why? She'ena yachid, neman al de'atzman. A single dayan is not neman, meaning he doesn't have the authority to establish Rosh Chodesh. You need at least three dayan. Mishnah began with a case where Bezdin saw the new moon, and also Kol Yisrael. Lomeli lemisna ru'u Bezdin v'chol Yisrael. Mishnah could have just said, Bezdin saw. Why do we need Bezdin and Yisrael? I mean, Bezdin saw it. They don't need any help. Istrich, your chiddush is like this. Sakada dechamina, perhaps I would think. Hoyel v'ru'u Bezdin v'chol Yisrael. Since everybody saw Bezdin, the multitudes, ifar samallah, it's become public knowledge. It's become publicized. Look, today, day 30 is must be Rosh Chodesh today. Look, there's a new moon up there. And they shouldn't delay, they shouldn't extend a month and establish Rosh Chodesh only tomorrow. Right? What happened was they didn't get to finish the process until tonight. We make it a Chodesh Me'uber. Perhaps, there would be room to think, Look, everybody saw the new moon. The whole point of taking the Adam's testimony and cross-examining and deliberating is to figure out what happened, to ensure that indeed we have the new moon here. But here everybody sees it. It's public knowledge. Perhaps we don't need the whole formal process. If we shouldn't make Iber. Rather, we should consider today, day 30, as Rosh Chodesh, K'mashmon. The Chodesh is no. Even though everybody sees it, we need to go through that formal process, have Edim, Chakirois, and conclude with Mekudesh, Mekudesh, all before the end of the day. In this case, they missed the deadline. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Continues the Gemara. V'kivan the tunnel. But once we say, Re'u Bezin V'chol Yisrael, everybody saw it. Nechkeru Ha'edim Lomeli. Why do we have to cross-examine Edim? Everybody saw it. There's nothing to question here. Hachik Amar, no. The Mishnah meant like this. We're speaking two different cases. In the first case, Bezin and Kol Yisrael saw. Inami, alternatively, this is another option, another case, where only Edim came along and claimed to have seen the new moon. And then, Nechkeru Edim. And we cross-examine them, we question their testimony. And we didn't get to conclude the process to declare Mekudesh until nighttime. So we're speaking about two different cases. In the first, everybody sees it, but they didn't get around to conclusion until tonight. In the second case, only the Edom came along that they saw it. We cross-examined. We didn't get done until nighttime. It's a Chodesh Mu'ubar. Says the Gemara, V'chiven de tana atshech ha-sheicha, harei ze me'ubar. But once we learn that even if everybody saw it, right, in the first case, Bezden and Kol Yisrael saw, they didn't get to say, V'kudesh atshech ha-sheicha, it's considered a chodesh me'ubar. Once we say that, why do you need a second case? Lomeli l'misnaye chakirus edim klal. Why even discuss a second case? Isn't it included in the first? Look, everybody saw it. It's clear, it's evident. No. We have to go through the process. And you can get around to saying Mekudesh until nightfall. Chodesh Me'ubar. Isn't it evident that in a case where only two Edom come along, claim to see them, to have seen the new moon, and we have to go through the Chakiris, and when we get done with the process until tonight, it's considered Chodesh Me'ubar. Of course. In the first case where everybody saw it, you have to postpone for lack of that public formal declaration during daytime. Of course, if only two Edom come along and claim they saw the new moon, you can't consider Rosh Chodesh until tomorrow. If they didn't conclude the process until tomorrow. So what's the Chiddush? Yisroch, there is a Chiddush here. Why? Perhaps I would think that in the case where Edom come along, and we began the Chakir, we began cross-examining them during daytime. So once we initiate that process during daytime, to have a chakir as Edom, the cross-examination of the Edom should be considered k'tchilas din, like the first stage, the initiation of a din. U'mekudesh mekudesh, and that declaration, mekudesh mekudesh, k'gmar din. Simply like the conclusion of a din. V'lukachi b'layla, which will allow us to conclude it at night. Why? Why would I say so? We have a precedent. Every dini mamonis works like that. Every court case involving monetary matters. You can start by day, but end at night. Mid dahava dini mamonis. Just like any other court case involving dini mamon, this none. Dini mamonis. Done by yom, you start the din by day. That's the main part of the din. The yom by laila, even if you want to finish at night, that's okay. Issue the psak at night, that's fine. Achanam here as well. Mikacha malaila. Perhaps in the case where you began the chakira of the Edom by day, that would allow us to do the kiddush at night. K'mashmon, K'mas Mishnah says no. Absolutely not. It's different than dinim amris. Over you have to finish the process during daytime. Ve'ma chanami, who says, maybe, let's compare the two things. Perhaps the gemar din by kiddush chedush can also take place at night. Amakra, Pasuk says, Chayik Yisraelu, Mishpat Kayak, referring to Kiddush HaChodesh. We call it Mishpat. Eimas Havi Chayik. What's the Pasuk referring to with the word Chayik? The Gemara Din. That's a conclusion, a declaration. Establishment of Rosh Chodesh. V'kakari le'rachmana mishpat. A Torah refers to it as mishpat. Ma mishpat b'yoyim, just as mishpat. It's meant to be during daytime. Rashi brings a pasuk. Avachanami b'yoyim, likewise over here. That conclusion of the Kiddush HaChodesh, that establishment of Rosh Chodesh, has to take place during daytime. And it's different than Dini Mamonos. Perhaps the difference is because by Dini Mamonos, the point is just to verify what happened. Reuben claims that Shimon owes him $1 million. Shimon denies. Back and forth, there's Edom, all discussion, deliberation. As long as you initiate the proceedings during daytime, conclusion could happen at night, because the point is just to verify the claims that were claimed and put forth during daytime. He's just trying to be mevarer the metzius, right? Trying to clarify what actually happened. So tchilas mishpat is considered crucial. And if that happens by day, that's enough. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, we just know the Gemara. It's not always dependent on the actual facts. The practical considerations are definitely something to be reckoned with. But at the end of the day, so to speak, the Bezin and their authority is what carries the day. They determine the Kedushas HaChodesh. They have the ability to be Mekadosh, even B'Shoigig, B'Mezid, right? It's not just a question of verifying facts, verifying the Metzius. Was there a moon? Was there no moon? It's the Kiddush HaChodesh which is given in the hands of Bezin that's being implemented at that point of Gemar, at that point of declaring Mekudosh, Mekudosh. That's the crucial point. That's the pivotal point. This is where it takes hold. This is where it gets applied and activated. So the Gemar is the primary element and stage when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, and that is to take place by day. Continues the Gemar. Ra'u Bezdin. So let's say the whole Bezdin is sitting and they notice the new moon. They can't just proceed and say Mekudosh. It needs to be Hagodas Edus. Yamdu Shnayim, V'yidu Bifneim. Two people get up and are made in front of the rest. And they accept their Edus and conclude accordingly. Vamai, why do the Edom have to get up? Why can't the Dayanim on their own just proceed to conclusion? Look, we saw the new moon, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Loite Shmia G'dayla Maria. How could listening to Edom be better than personally witnessing the new moon? Amar Abzera Kigain Shiru Balal. What happened was, they were sitting at night and they noticed that new moon. Nighttime is not a appropriate time to do a din, as we learned. So if they're going to use the fact that they personally saw the moon to conclude accordingly, to paskin accordingly, they're basically presenting themselves as Dayanim. Right, we saw it as judges. I'm going to conclude accordingly. Well, if you saw it at night, you can't view yourself as a judge because you can't judge at night. So they don't have the power of re'iyah, personally experiencing it as a dayan. Because at night is not a time to do dayanus, judging. Rather, they can serve as edim. Right? That's okay. You can see something at night and then pass that over to Bezin. So these Dayanim who happen to see the new moon at night have to wait until morning and then treat themselves as Edom, because that's when they saw it. They saw it in a time when they couldn't serve as Dayanim. Right? Nighttime is not a time of Mishpat. So they have to treat themselves as Edom. Next morning they get up and they testify. Look, we saw the new moon. And the other Dayanim will accept their testimony and act accordingly. Ru'u Shloishevein Bezin. Let's say there were only three Dayanim there. And they notice the new moon. Once again, Yam Deshnaim, two of them should get up. Yeshivim Chavrei Metzal Yachid, and bring some other colleagues, other Dayanim. Sit them down next to this third Dayan. And these two Dayanim will testify before them. Amai, why? Why is this needed? Hachanami, here is all. We could say the same thing. Neima, we should say, Loite Shmia. How could listening to Edom be better, G'dayla Maria, than witnessing it firsthand? They all saw it. Why do we need Agadis Edis? Perhaps you say, Achanami here as well. Initially, when they saw it, it was night, in which case they can't act based on what they saw in the context of a judge, because they saw it at night. And they can't serve in the capacity of a judge at night. Rather, they can serve as Edom. That's why we need this process of Edom with Dayanim. Well, Hainu Hach, that's an exact repetition of the first case. What's the chiddush here? Answers the Gemara, Seifa, it's Trichle. This last case contains an added chiddush. Dein HaYachid, Neman HaDeyatzman. We learn from here that a dying on his own can't carry this load, this responsibility. We need at least three dayanim to execute Kiddush HaChodesh. And that's what we learned from the Sefer. We had three people, three dayanim, who saw the new moon. Two have to get up, provide testimony, but this last individual can't just shoulder it on his own. We have to join him up with other people. Another two dayanim for a total of three. Why would I think that even a yachid is okay? The Saka that the Chamina, perhaps I would say, Hoyo v'tnan, we learned that Dini Mamunis Bishloish, a monetary court case, need three dayanim. That's typically. But if he was a public expert, he was a known fellow, a man of stature, even if he's on his own, he can do that dini mamnus. So I would think perhaps here as well, a yachid mumcha can go ahead and make kiddush achedish. Kamashman, a chedish is no. We need three. Perhaps even one is enough. Answer is no. Ein lecha mumcha l'rabim b'Yisrael. Yoisim Moshe Rabbeinu. Who is the greatest expert in Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ka'om l'kadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem tells him, you're not enough. Adi ika iron badach. You need iron with you. V'chsev ayoy me'ashem ha'moshe v'al iron. V'eretz Mitzrayim. Leimor. Ha'achoydeh shazel lachem. So you see, you need Moshe, iron, and as Tosis points out, a bezin always needs an odd number. A minimum of three. Now, in our Mishnah, we learned that even a dying who personally observed the new moon can go ahead and function as a dying in that capacity. Even though you have personal experience, and you're not really an objective participant anymore, because you saw it yourself. Does that work? Can you serve as a judge if you see, if you witness the story yourself? L'mrei medimi to say, the aid nasa dayan, that somebody who can serve in an aid capacity, which basically means he saw the incident himself, such as his dayanam, who actually saw the new moon, nasa dayan, they can go ahead and serve as a dayan, as a judge in that very same case. Lema masnisim like Rabbi Akiva. Apparently, we're not following Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't allow that to happen. If you have personal experience, you're puzzled from serving as a dayan in that case. You're no longer an objective participant. The Sanhedrin shiro echad shaharag sanefesh. Suppose the Sanhedrin noticed Reuben killing Shimon. Miktsasa nasu edim. Some of them can serve as edim. Miktsasa nasu dayanim. The other ones can accept the edis. They can serve in a dayim capacity. No problem. Even though everybody saw the story. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva ever know? He says no. Kula nasun edim. All of them can potentially be Adam. They all saw the story. That's it. They're disqualified from being Dayan. They're no longer objective players. Vein aid nasa dayan. One who can be an aid, meaning he saw the story, can't become a Dayan. So why do you allow it by Kiddush HaChodesh? The fellow who saw the new moon, the Dayan that noticed, he'll serve as a judge in Kiddush HaChodesh? I feel a tamer of Akiva. No. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree in our case that it's okay. It's only over there that Rabbi Akiva disqualifies. Oh, Din in the Farshays. Speaking about Din in the Farshays. Matters pertain to capital punishment. The Rahmana Amma, the Pasuk says, you have to seek to acquit this person, to find a schos. Vishavtu eid, vid silu eid. You have to try to save him. The Akiva and the Chazu, once Bezin saw the Katal Nafsh that he killed somebody, there's no way they're going to. Got a very hard time. Being a lamed zchus, finding some mitigating factors in this case. Well, it was b'shoygeg or whatever. Once you see it firsthand, you're already committed. So therefore, he can't serve as a judge. Aval hachab, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, I feel that Rabbi Akiva might, even Rabbi Akiva agrees. There's no reason to disqualify the aid. There's no agenda. We're not trying to save anything. So what if they saw the new moon? They can still serve in a judge capacity. So when it comes to D-Day and Fashas, once you have personal experience, very hard for you to be a matzel to try to save this person. But by D-Day, Kiddush HaChodesh is not an issue. So what do we learn today? We had this story with Rabbi Gamliel, who instructed Rabbi Yeshua to come to him on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says from the word Atem, We learn Afilu Mezidin, Afilu Shayigin, a Bezdin has the authority to establish the Rosh Chodesh in any case. We learn that every year, a Bezdin has the same authority as the Bezdin of the time Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yiftah Bedoiri, Kishmo Bedoiri, every leader has to be treated with respect, just as the leaders in the days of old. Bezdin has to start and end the procedure during daytime. If the Bezdin saw it at night, then they can't serve as a dayan, rather only as edim. We learned that a yachid can't be mekadosh the chodesh, and even Bezdin who actually saw the new moon can go ahead and serve in a dayan, in a judge capacity, in this case. All the best to you and much atzlacha.